Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing when you're listening to him, Andy, well, he's not overwhelmed by this situation. He sounds completely in control.
Mm-hmm.
As he said, he called plays for two pretty intense coaches. And so you're going to get some flack there, Brian Kelly and Nick Saban. And the one thing I think that we all need to remember here, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to have a whole new offense, because Tommy Rees was the offensive coordinator. He was putting this whole thing together. He and Kevin Stefanski working in collaboration on the whole offense.
Right.
And that was his job. So this has been his offense. But maybe a different set of eyes when it comes to how to use what you have will benefit the Browns.
I thought he gave an interesting answer. Just want to remind you again, you're listening to WKRK FM and HD1, Cleveland Heights, Cleveland. What he said, I think, last is the most important part of the entire press conference.
Came here to work for Kevin.
Yeah, he wanted to be here for Kevin, and that it was Kevin's call. Kevin was the one that said, let's switch. And I think that's important because, not that he's going to let you know if there's any animosity or anything like that, but you wonder, it's like, how do things go down like that? And the other thing, at the end, it's still Kevin. Like Kevin said it yesterday, if he doesn't like the play call on 4th and 1, he can overrule it.
Mm-hmm.
He could do something different. Or maybe, someone still has to decide, are we going for it on 4th down? To me, that's a Kevin thing, right? Kevin's going to decide if they go for it on 4th and 1. Right.
Yeah.
So, I said this at the beginning of the hour, I don't know. If you think that there are major changes for the offense coming on Sunday, I think you're mistaken. I just don't see it. I just don't. I think they're too in a line in what they're doing. So, and I don't know if it's a bad thing. I mean, that's how you have a good working relationship with somebody. But if they don't score more than 15 points a game, what's the difference?
A couple of the things he said stuck out to me, though. He said, we want to stress defenses. And then we want to lean on the guys that, can be your major contributors. That, to me, screams we're going to see more balls thrown David Njoku's way. We're going to see more balls thrown Jerry Jeudy's way.
I think
way.
You're right on that. I got that out of there.
And we're going to see Quinshon Judkins get plenty of touches. I would think those three guys are going to be essential here. And maybe Cedric Tillman as well. So I would think that those three, maybe four guys get a ton. You have to maximize your personnel and make your quarterback comfortable out there. That, to me, that backs up the other thing about leaning on your guys. Maximize your personnel. Your best guys should get the ball. That's the way most teams do it. Jamar Chase gets 19 passes from Joe Flacco, for God's sake.
Sure.
But
that's Joe too. I don't, is Joe Gabriel? No. Joe's very, very comfortable in his skin. As we saw on the safety intentional grounding out of Gabriel, there are moments there that he's a rookie. You got to remember that. He said one thing I thought that was kind of important because we had brought this up. I'm like, why? Why are you doing it? And there were two reasons he kind of alluded to it, maybe three. Three was, that was Kevin saying, let's see if somebody else looks like. And I'm okay with it, with Kevin but you know, it didn't sound like he was, Kevin had a gun to his head to make the change. The other part of it was the spark, right? Like sometimes you go to the bullpen because you think you can get a little bit better pitching, or why do you throw a pinch hitter up there, right? Like you think that pinch hitter might have something going for him today and you get the spark. So I don't know that he's a pinch hitter. I think he's in the lineup for the rest of the year. But
yeah, I would agree.
But he even brought it up. Hey, we're looking for a spark. I'm here to do whatever the team asked me to do. I'm here for Kevin. So, I mean, on the outside, it sounds great. It sounds like, you know, they're all on the same page. Now we will see if the proof is in the pudding on Sunday, if they can get more than 15 points. Get me to 21. I'll believe you right away. I'll be like, yeah, bring him back next week. Let's let him call some plays. Then again, you're going up against the Jets team with a depleted defense after trading some big names.
I like the calmness, the way he handled himself in the press conference. That means nothing when it comes to calling plays. But again, he's done this before, Andy. So I hope by leaning on your guys, you know, that means you know you have key players, and then maximize your personnel. Okay. What do you do with, when you maximize personnel, you go to your guys, right? Your key guys. I'm just curious to see, does anybody else get more involved than we think? Like, you know, do we actually see Malachi Corley in a pass pattern rather than just running a jet sweep?
I know the jet sweep seemed to work, although now everyone knows he's going to be doing
once.
It. Yeah.
Because you only gave it to him once.
Well, everyone might think it's coming, too. So
Mark is in Cleveland. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, in a way, it just popped up. I just got a feeling that Kevin, if he had a winning record, I don't think this would have happened. I mean, it wouldn't have been a switch. If we had won the Minnesota game and the Cincinnati game, what would the record be? 4-1? That would be a running record?
Wait, if they beat Cincinnati, yeah.
What was the other Cincinnati game? Cincinnati and Minnesota.
Yep.
Those two games. Yeah. And, Jeff, maybe your wish might come true. His wish may come true. Because if Reese go in the next year and we go into that draft, would that open the door for Lenore Sellers? You know, because he was his coach in college and those two know each other very well. So you think about that, Jeff. Lenore Sellers might be coming to Cleveland.
No, Sellers is at South Carolina. Tommy was at Alabama.
Oh, okay. I got him mixed up. All right.
He coached Jalen Milroe at Alabama.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That's right. Milroe's with the Seahawks.
And the Browns took Dylan Gabriel several picks after Jalen Milroe came off the board, which I thought at the time, Mark, it's like, I wonder if they waited too long.
Milroe. Yeah. How's he doing with the
He's sitting and watching Sam Darnold play well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, maybe that's needs to do. Sanders, you know.
Yep. Mark, thank you,
okay,
buddy.
Yeah.
Appreciate the phone call. I've wondered about Jalen Milroe, by the way.
I know. That's the kind of stuff that keeps you up at night.
Did they want him? And then he went just a couple of picks earlier? I don't know the answer to that, but I've wondered it. Ben's in Cleveland. Hello, Ben.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Ben.
Okay.
Hey. I'm a little concerned about Tommy Reese. As a Notre Dame fan, I know him as Turnover Tommy.
I just brought that up the other day.
This guy, when he was the offensive coordinator, was so one-dimensional. And this Browns offense already is one-dimensional. So are we going to put Gabriel in these positions where we're trying to get him to make plays because we don't have any other options? I don't like him as the offensive coordinator. I don't want him in Cleveland. I don't think he should be anywhere near these young quarterbacks.
On that cheery note, Ben, we thank you for calling.
It's the first negative Tommy Reese phone call we've had, but I mean, he didn't make up that nickname, but we were talking about it the other day when he got the gig. I was like, ooh, Turnover Tommy. Not exactly the nickname you want as a quarterback, but again,
Turnover. I'm not aware. Did he get the nickname as a player or as a coach?
Player. No, as a player at Notre Dame.
Okay, well, there's a reason that he's not playing in the NFL. He's coaching. He's not a good enough quarterback. Doesn't mean you can't coach.
No, but I brought this up before. Like, if Gabriel now finds himself as a guy that's having more turnovers each week,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it because he is trying to be more aggressive? And I'm not blaming it on his offensive coordinator. I mean, if he throws an interception, it's on him most of the time, or it's on the wide receiver if they didn't run the right route, or being pressured by an offensive line that's letting him down. I wish I didn't have all these answers. But he just, I want to see why Gabriel will look better. I'm trying to be an optimist on this, too. Why he'll look better with Reese as the offensive coordinator. I think that's a question a lot of us will have going into this game. You'll be watching him with a eagle eye.
We go to Sandusky. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff Baskin. Here's how Tommy Reese can fix the offense, okay?
Yeah.
A couple things that he needs to do. Got to run a little bit more play action. I don't know why Stefanski has gone away from play action ever since Baker started off with us. The non-existence of it is baffling to me. Another thing that I noticed this season, do you guys remember the Miami game? Do you remember that we actually moved receivers, put them in motion before the snap? Why is it that that only happened during the Miami game? Another thing, Judy in the slot. Got to start running some more 22 personnel. We got two tight end playmakers. We got two playmakers, running backs that we can put out there. Samson's a quick little guy. Judkins, he's your boom, pow, pow. You know what I'm talking about. I'm out. Reese, he might snap. He might go off this week. I don't know. We're playing the Jets. They got rid of the two best defensive players. Jerry from Sandusky, out.
See you, Jer. Does it concern you at all? And does this say anything about Kevin, guys? That this is the Browns' third offensive coordinator in 3 years. Remember, we had Alex Van Pelt, and we didn't hear a whole lot about Kevin's play calling when Alex Van Pelt was the offensive coordinator, but not calling plays.
Right.
It got there a bit with P.J. Walker and that whole cavalcade.
But we didn't hear a whole lot about it, and you're calling plays for P.J. Walker, so you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then you replace Alex Van Pelt seemingly out of nowhere. Whether, you know, because it seemed to be going okay, but maybe not great. You brought in Ken Dorsey to try and maybe put together an offense that might be a little more tailored to Deshaun. That didn't work. And you let him call plays. That didn't work. And now you replace Dorsey with Tommy Reese. So this is the third offensive coordinator in 3 years, which makes you think, are they actually running Kevin's offense? Are they running whatever? Because Kevin's offense to me is what he ran when Alex Van Pelt was here. And they've been looking for something ever since.
They've tried to modernize it, what Kevin Stefanski was doing. But the problem, they don't get under center, Jeff. Andy, it's starting to drive me nuts.
Yeah, but they almost have to.
But even Drew Brees was under center back in the day.
Brees was a little bigger than Gabriel, wasn't he?
Russell Wilson was under center. They'll put Kyler Murray under center from time to time. Now, I know Kyler's out for a period of time. They don't get under center. It's a lot easier to sell run fakes and run actions and
sure
all that stuff under center.
It is better
for your running back to have your quarterback under center. You're seeing the Rams get more and more under center with Matthew Stafford. You're seeing that find its way around the league. The Browns are primarily out of shotgun, which is what happens in a lot of colleges all over the place.
Yeah.
That's my number one thing, is get Dylan Gabriel under center. The second thing, get the average depth of target to where it is not the lowest in the league so that you're actually pushing the ball down the field and get that dome out from over his head. That's my two things I hope Tommy Reese does.
By not throwing the ball deep, it's just like they're running an extended running game. So if you're not going to take deep passing shots, instead of throwing to guys who don't run the ball as well as your running back and trying to play a little ball control offense, just hand off.
Well, you know, you're talking about offensive coordinators, too. I mean, Gabriel's now two this year, three at Oregon. The year before that, he had...
Three at Oregon?
Well, no, I'm saying that's his third.
Oh, okay.
Oklahoma is his fourth, and then go back. I'm assuming he had the same offensive coordinator in 22 and 23. I'm just assuming that. But I can tell you for a fact, you're looking at, you know, his third offensive coordinator in the last, in this calendar year.
Well, he's one of many quarterbacks that we've had here recently. Kevin has had success with some, not as much with others. Tommy Reese spoke. We listened to most of it. After we cut away, Tommy was asked, you know, we've seen the offense here with Kevin for 8 games, 2-6. How might the offense be different with Tommy Reese calling plays? And here's what Tommy Reese had to say.
Because it's the same playbook, because it's still collaborative, do you think, like, just watching the game, the offense and how it operates is going to look much different than it did the first 8 weeks?
I'll ask you next week, I guess. You know, I would think every play caller is going to have a different feel, a different spin on things. They're going to have things that they value, things that they want to get to. Kevin and I are not the same person, although, to your point, we have enough in our offense to make it look different in spots. We have enough depth in what we're asking those guys to do to make it look different. But I think some of the core principles continue on. We just have to do them at a higher level. I'm not going to put any labels on it. We want to go out there and play sound football, put our players in the right spots, and have success. Like, look, we got to score points. We got to stay on the offense. To sit here and say a bunch of stuff that it's going to look like, you know, we want to maximize the guys we have. And that's looked different. First year I called plays at Notre Dame looks different than when I was at Alabama. It's just you're trying to maximize the guys you have on the roster.
Maximize the guys you have on the roster. He's mentioned that a couple of times then.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they've been maximizing the guys so far?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, like them, don't like them, whatever. Jerry Jeudy, until further notice, is the best wide receiver this team has. That hasn't worked.
Yeah.
So you're not maximizing Jerry.
No.
Correct?
Again, the question of, is it the offense, or if he drops a pass, then, you know, you're...
Yeah, I know he's had, issues. So. I know he's had some issues with drops. I know that. But you're still not maximizing him.
No, you're right.
Get him the ball. You know, get him the ball. Figure it out. I know he has to catch it. Figure out ways to put the ball in his hands and let him go. David Njoku. Do you feel David's been maximized so far?
No, I feel like there's a way more that they can do. But
I think so too.
If you feel like you need to keep Njoku, and we're talking about going to this two tight end package more often, which is a very Kevin thing, which is fine. I have no problem because having Fannin and Njoku out there at the same time as an outlet, I think is fantastic. I think both those guys are high percentage plays to be able to get the ball down the field. No one's asking for more than 7 or 8 yards out of a tight end, right? Are you? I mean, you might ask a tight end to go hit the line so you can get a first down, and tight ends, because they're a little bit bigger, maybe are a little more apt to wanting to cut across the middle and get into that danger zone.
Yeah.
Because they have the body types to do it. And Fannin is just like a bulldog, man. I love the yards after the catch of that dude. He just is like, he's remember the Fred Flintstone when he was playing at Princeton? And Fred had like 15 guys on him.
On his back?
Yeah, and he was twinkle toes.
Fred was just plowing through, baby.
Wasn't he twinkle toes? Wasn't that his? Or was that just his bowling?
That was bowling.
That was bowling, sorry.
Yeah, when he was bowling.
But when he was playing football, man, I mean, like.
I believe.
All the other guys couldn't bring him down. That's Harold Fannin right there. He's a Fred Flintstone type runner once he gets the ball, which is outstanding. That's
great to hear, Fred.
Oh, buddy.
Micah is in Cuyahoga Falls. Micah?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. I think, though, that Tommy Reese, honestly, isn't going to change much when the offensive line is allowing 35% get into the quarterback on dropbacks. You know, I think that there's not much that can change when our offensive line is not doing much of anything. Our players got to start first before our coaches, you think.
Offensive linemen will tell you, Micah, they love to run block. So maybe...
yeah, they do.
Maybe run blocking is their strength. And maybe the more you run, the better your pass blocking becomes because you're not doing it more than any team in the NFL.
I'm just not sure how much we can maximize our receivers and the rest of our team when all we're doing is run blocking and not getting our players down the field and hitting our players. Doesn't help that the rest of them.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Our drop in passes, too, like you said, with Jerry Jeudy or David Njoku.
All right, Micah. Micah doesn't sound real optimistic.
Well, I don't think anybody should be right now.
Well, they've given us no reason to be.
The personnel hasn't changed.
No.
So now all we're doing is, I don't even have an analogy for it.
Trying to tweak some things, and maybe, I'm going to cling to this. Maximize your personnel. That's what he talked about. That to me means I expect to see more of Jeudy. I expect to see more of Njoku and probably more of Judd, which I don't think is a bad thing. We were talking the other day after work, and it was about Kevin catching grief and quarterbacks and blah, 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 blah. And I just wanted to double check. So I looked a couple of things up last night, including playoff games. Kevin has had 12 different starting quarterbacks in 95 games as head coach of the Browns.
Here. How many?
12.
That's insane.
In 95 games. Yeah, because Kevin is in the middle of year number six, and he's had 12 different guys start at quarterback for him. Now, three of them, you know, started only one game. But best winning percentage of a quarterback under Kevin Stefanski here in Cleveland, who do you think it is? This is a loaded question, by the way.
It's got to be Joe Flacco.
It's not. It's Case Keenum. He was 2-0.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
But guess who was next? Baker Mayfield. Baker was 18-14 here under Kevin. And
wait, percentage or wins?
Winning percentage.
Oh, that's right. Joe lost games this year. Yeah,
yeah. Winning percentage. Baker was second. Baker and Case Keenum are the only quarterbacks who have a winning record under Kevin. And I know Baker's getting a lot of credit, deservedly so, for the way he's playing in Tampa and everything else. Baker's best one-loss record was under Kevin Stefanski. He's not won 11 games since he won 11 games with Kevin, for whatever that's worth. But this just kind of leads to it screams about the lack of continuity at that position and the trouble the team has had. We all know it, but with Flacco, because this year didn't go real well, Andy, and the playoff game didn't, 5-5. So though Joe had that great stretch where he went 4-1 in the regular season, he ended up 5-5 as a Browns quarterback. Deshaun's right there with him. Deshaun's 9-10 under Kevin Stefanski, so a .500 quarterback. And remember the year that Flacco went 4-1, or was it 5-1? Deshaun did as well. So that was interesting. Jacoby Brissett played pretty well here, but still they were just 4-7. P.J. Walker, you won a game with P.J. He started two games for Kevin, went 1-1. Jameis was 2-5. Seemed like lost opportunity with Jameis, because Jameis made some guys look pretty good.
And he was fun.
But he was throwing the ball all over the place. That didn't work. Dylan is 1-3, one of the lower winning percentages so far, by the way, with Kevin. DTR is worse at 1-4. And then Bailey Zappi, Jeff Driscoll, Nick Mullins each lost their only start. But that's 12 quarterbacks in 5.5 years for Kevin.
Yeah, I'm talking about offensive coordinators for Gabriel. Think about that for Kevin.
It's
not a recipe for success.
No, it's not. Ryan is in Medina. Hey, Ryan.
Rhino.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're good.
Well, you know what?
Nope.
This is a rerun of what we've seen in past, as you guys know. In past errors of the Browns, we can look at Bud Carson, who didn't know how to call plays. And
Bud didn't call plays. He was a defensive coordinator.
Huh?
Bud didn't call plays. He was the defensive coordinator.
Well, who was the guy? Who was the guy? Who was the guy? The past guys calling plays that substituted for the coach, head coach.
Lindy Infante?
Years.
The offensive coordinators. Lindy Infante called plays for Marty Schottenheimer.
Lindy Infante. Well, I would give Infante a little bit more credit than the others, wouldn't you?
Yeah. He did a nice job here, Ryan. Thank you. Offensive coordinators sometimes call plays.
Well, he might have had a point.
That was going nowhere.
Well, maybe he was trying to get somewhere.
Well, good.
He was trying to establish the floor there, Andy, Your Honor.
Trying to run a show here.
I know. Well, he was trying to give you his resume before he got to.
He thought Bud Carson called offensive plays. Can we stop there?
Bud was a nice guy, though, wasn't he?
Well, he seemed like a fine fella.
Think about how hard it is to get a coach here since Marty. Right?
Oh, Bud? Bud was awesome.
I'm not saying he wasn't awesome. I'm just saying to have a winning coach since Marty. Consistent winning coach.
Bad.
Since Marty. Help me.
Consistent winning coach since Marty Schottenheimer?
It's the guy you have now, isn't it?
Bill Belichick was okay.
Maybe.
Darius Garland back for the Cavaliers last night, Andy. And that was good to see. Good to have Darius back. The toe didn't seem to be an issue. Darius worked his way back. Didn't have, you know, a huge impact in the game. At least as far as stats go, having Darius back is a nice thing for this basketball team and gives them yet another weapon and another reason to win basketball games.
And another reason, what, they have 44 three-point attempts last night?
Can't shoot enough threes in the NBA, Andy.
Is it me? I get tired of
you
it
hate
sometimes.
It.
I don't hate
Andy,
it.
It's boring basketball.
It's just, okay, here we go. Get the ball outside the three-pointer. Get the ball beyond three-pointer.
The beauty of basketball is moving the basketball, moving bodies, and working for good shots.
How does that change, though? How do you change it?
You don't. The analytics tell you three is more than two. It's really deep, deep stuff.
So if the analytics are changing it, change it so the analytics don't tell you that. And I don't know how you do that.
What does that mean?
I'm just, it's a bore. Like, do you like watching this?
No, I hate
jacking
it.
Up 43 threes a game?
I hate it. It's bad basketball.
It is bad basketball. So how do you change it?
You don't change it. That's the way the league is right now.
Well, then, okay.
The only way you change it is if you move the three-point line way back or eliminate it. And they're not going to do either. I don't think. Ever.
It doesn't. I mean, I love when we win. And I love when we hit the threes.
You know what the best shot in basketball is? The best shot, analytically, is the baseline three-pointer. Because it's closer to the basket than the three-pointers out around the edge. So the baseline three out of the corner is the money shot in the NBA.
The bingo.
That's the shot they want everybody to take. And that's why when you see an offense come down and they, you know, you have your point guard dribbling the ball, look in those corners. There's almost always somebody standing there.
It's because no one ever uses the glass, too. Let's think about
glass.
That.
Glass.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I'm that old that I said the word glass? Why is the glass so taboo? There's a little box up there that tells you, put the ball on this thing and it's going
to
go in.
If you're 10 feet away from the basket on an angle, it's easier to make a basket taking it off the glass. But guys don't do that anymore because the glass is an old school shot.
It's not cool, right?
No, it's not cool at all.
It's not cool.
But what we saw last night, yeah, Donovan
you
Mitchell.
You have to call it too, right? You got to say, oh, glass.
You had Donovan Mitchell go nuts with 46 points. And he did it taking only 21 shots. So, you know, I like that. And then you had Evan and Jarrett with real nice contributions. And you had Darius playing 26 minutes and just kind of getting his feet back under him again. So good for him, good for them. I think it worked. And now we'll see what happens. It hasn't changed the fact that you have two small guards and both dominant and everything else. And we'll see how it plays out. But glad he's back. I would just pay attention, you know, because pay attention to how this team plays with what they have right now. They're not as deep as they should be because DeAndre Hunter was out. Max Strus is out. When those guys come back, it pushes Jalen Tyson to the bench, and Max Strus will probably come off the bench. I wonder about the depth on this team overall, if you want to know the truth. Because I like some of the moves they made. I really do. But Thomas Bryant played 1 minute last night. Well, I like Thomas Bryant. I only played 1 minute.
Well, they probably didn't because they knew you wanted to see him. So they're like,
Dean Wade got Phelps, Dean Wade got scraped in the eye last night.
Yeah, that was a weird play,
that didn't
wasn't
look
it?
Good. So and I think Dean's a solid player. To me, the guys that give this team some depth are Lonzo Ball, obviously huge injury history. Sam Merrill, who came back and had 14 points last night. I love the way Sam shoots the ball. And Strus. I think Max will be coming off the bench. And I think that gives you some depth. And Larry Nance Jr., I think, is a terrific player coming off the bench for you. He does just a little bit of everything.
They felt Craig Porter was that guy last night, too.
And Craig can,
they did.
Craig can play. I wonder, and I don't know that this is going to happen, but, you know, just I just watch this team and think, okay, how long are you going to go with Donovan and Darius together and see if you can win the whole thing? You know, I would think this is the last year you're going to try that. And I say that only because you've done it now. This is the fourth year those guys have been together. And if you don't win it now with those two guys, I would think you busted up.
So, what if those two guys are effective and you find, although I liked the way Jared played last night, but what if you find that is effective and maybe you're
it's been really effective in the regular season, but it's clearly not in the postseason.
Okay, but again, like you said, you're going to give it one more year, right?
Well, no, I said, are you going to give it one more year? And I'd keep an eye on it.
But you think they may break it up at the trade deadline?
I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be completely stunned. Andy, you got knocked out in the second round every year since.
How are you going to know that at the trade deadline, though?
Well, that's what they're paid for. That's why the GM makes big money.
That's why they went in as the GM is also the guy that put this thing together.
Absolutely right.
Yeah,
exactly the point.
I'm not saying that.
I mean, are you going to roll it out 4 years in a row and have the same thing happen? No, they've got to figure out a way to make it work, and you can. You can coach things up, but you know,
isn't that why they brought the coach here? Too? I mean, to try to get it so that, you know, Mitchell and Garland can work together?
I think what they did was bring the coach here to try and go further in the playoffs. I mean, we really don't care who's in that backcourt if they get to the NBA Finals.
How many years have they had a chance to break this up? When they decided to bring Mitchell in, right? They've had chances to break this up already. I don't think they're in any hurry to break it up this year.
I didn't say they're in any hurry. I just said watch it. Just watch it and see what happens. You know, it's could Craig Porter go in and run the offense well? Lonzo Ball could. Could that be your point guard combination?
Now, stay healthy?
Craig Porter's a small guard, but he's not as ball dominant as Darius is. Can Lonzo stay healthy? There's a $1 million question.
Yeah, would you rather bank on him or bank one of your current guys up there?
Well, I think Lonzo's perfect if he's healthy.
Seriously,
I think he's taller. He's a great defender.
I'm listening
and he
to you.
Moves the ball really well.
Jeff, I know you may not hear it, but I hear a little panic in your voice there. You sound like you're a little
not in the least.
You're saying exactly what you've been saying, but right now, I know that's why you can't hear it.
How long are you going to do the same thing?
Well, we don't know if it's going to happen this year. Like, we were all expecting Evan Mobley to be a better player this year. How does that affect it? I mean, Darius just played his first game last night.
I'm not saying Darius can't play. You know that. I think Darius is a tremendous player. It's just all about fit. And I wonder how long do you keep going with it and give it another chance. If you go this whole year, that's great. If they get knocked out in the second round this year, they won't give it a fifth year.
I agree with. But you can't say it's defeated until it is.
I didn't say it was defeated. I just said watch it.
Okay. I thought about last night's win. Like I didn't.
Well, you should.
Well, yeah, but now you got me like second guessing everything. I'm looking at this going, maybe he's.
First, there's no Joel Embiid for the Sixers.
Well, that's true too. That helps though, doesn't it? Like last year, they got a lot of wins where guys were out. We saw all that last year.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't.
The only play was on the schedule.
They have given us Mitchell and Garland together. This is what I think we need to accept it for this point. Until it's not, it is, and I'm not trying to be Mensa about that. But come on, it's like they're a good team. I just want to see them move the basketball a little bit more. That's all I'm asking for. I'm tired of watching three after three after three after three after three. Although it is fun to watch Mitchell, you know, come home with, you know, 46 points. I mean, it's fan friendly in that aspect, but it's not great basketball to watch.
He caught fire in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean it was fun.
Yeah.
But by the same token, it's like, okay, I get it. Especially in the I get leery when I see Evan shooting threes. I'm sorry. Super big guys don't.
Except for one thing.
Except for the fact he's making them, but I'm still going to be leery.
Well, he's making them.
I feel exactly the same way about him hitting threes as the way I kind of did for when Z would step outside and take a three. Same thing. Like,
Evan's better at it than Z.
Yes, he is.
Evan's worked at it. His three-point percentage last year was more than tolerable, 37%.
Is that the bar, though, to be more than tolerable?
Well,
I love Evan in the paint.
The way the game is played now.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Someone's going to come up with something better. Someone's got to.
Maybe Kyle in Amherst. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I had an idea to change a rule. These guys are chucking too many threes. So I think they should eliminate the corner three, and the three-point line should end where it hits the out-of-bounds line, so to get rid of that corner three. It's too easy for these guys making corner threes. Or they should limit, there should be a three-point limit. So it would be like 40 threes per game, and you'd have to allocate your three-pointers for the game or save them for the end of the game.
It's like big men softball, right? You can only hit three homers in a game?
That's right.
Played in leagues like that, it'll never happen.
What would you do with a three-point line? Just kind of round it off and have it go out of bounds, like about the free-throw line?
Yeah, you round it off, you have it go out of bounds, kind of where it turns in the corner there, and you get rid of people standing in the corner, and that three-point percentage is too high in the corner. It's too easy for those guys. So
it's definitely
encourages
easier.
More driving to the basket.
All right.
I'm down with it.
You could. You could do that. It would certainly change the game. There's no question about that.
But would they shoot more twos? That's the question.
Or would they just jack up more longer shots?
Ugh. I'm just waiting for the five-point shot to come in.
Would affect the drive and kick a little bit. Matt is in Rocky River. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Matty.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good.
So I think the main thing they have is that they know that the teams have figured out that obviously the three-point value compared to how many they're missing to how many they're making just statistically gives them the advantage to chuck up more shots, which is kind of diluting the game for the viewer. Why not change the scoring so it doesn't have the same value? That doesn't really change the game as far as changing three-point lines or removing things. You're just literally changing the value, say, a four-point shot for our beyond the arc and a three-point shot for everything else. It'll increase the numbers, obviously, of the game, of the tunnel, the final score, but they're already kind of crazy as is now compared to back in the day when defense and two-point shots. Would that be a viable solution to kind of slow down the race to the three?
Oh boy.
That in simpleton's terms, because I'm a simpleton.
Don't have a two-point shot?
Yes, three-point shot, four-point shot. Three-point shot would be the standard value for a regular shot. The beyond the arc would be four. So that changes the actual gain by percentage, and that cuts out the value of it. It makes it so it isn't such a huge benefit to be throwing up shots beyond the arc. And that'll make it so it has an advantage. The beyond the arc shot would still have an advantage, but not just such a heavy one, which would tip the percentages that you need to win, to say how many threes did you put up or beyond the arcs did you put up.
Matt, are you an engineer or a math guy?
There's been talk of this.
I could hear it in your well thought out thought, Matt.
Yeah, I'm known in the city as of somebody who might think a little too much sometimes.
Okay.
Sorry, nothing wrong.
But yeah, that's it. That's my only, and I don't really, just all my right. own thought of it.
All right, Matt, thank you. Here's why that would never happen. You want to really screw up everything that's ever
all
been
the records,
done in history.
Yeah. Although, I mean, when they put the three-point line in, didn't they do that there? Although now you have three-point records.
Yes. Yeah.
It just added two new columns.
What would a good scoring average be? 67 points per game? For somebody?
Yeah, so much for the Wilt picture with 100, because we get that a couple
exactly times. Right. Yeah. Exactly right. Good that Darius is back. We'll see how it goes. The Cavs should have a tremendous season and get to the playoffs, and then we'll see what this team's really all about. 5 o'clock today.
About four hours away.
Here we go. About 4 hours away. Free agency can begin in Major League Baseball. I have two perfect guardian free agents.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.